This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And once again, this is the Toastmasters podcast, episode number something or other. We don't actually keep track of the numbers. But today is Tuesday, May 18th, 2010. Ryan, what do we got going on today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about an extremely important topic, which is evaluations. And joining us for this topic is distinguished Toastmaster Bob Terrell. Bob is a presentations coach, speaker, author, and consultant with over 30 years of experience in professional development training with small, medium, and large organizations. With an MBA in personnel administration and organizational psychology, Bob has provided individual professional communications coaching for over 10 years, served as a university instructor, producer of a speech evaluation training DVD, and is the author of an upcoming workbook entitled How to Give Effective Evaluations. Mr. Bob Terrell, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome, Bob.
Great to have you with us today, Bob. Now, Bob, as a learning and development professional, I know this is a topic that is near and dear to your heart, as evaluations are critical both for Toastmasters and other areas of life. But could you share with our listeners why this topic is so especially important to you?
Well, when I think about why many people have joined Toastmasters, and I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of people do begin by saying, I joined to get over the fear of public speaking. Whether that's true universally or not, think about it. Most people do have at least some trepidation about public speaking. So I think to myself, what's the best way to help them grow and work with that nervous energy? That's to provide coaching. As Lance Miller likes to say, the 2005 world champion of public speaking, be a coach when you evaluate. And a real coach is going to uplift, support, issue really a lot of positivity to that person at the same time pointing out what his perceptions are or my perceptions are that you think they can benefit from in terms of improvements. Mm-hmm. So I think of all the practicum that Toastmasters allows for, evaluations gives the one chance for us to coach another and support them through their growth and development.
Bob, are you a fan of the sandwich method, or do you have another secret up your sleeves?
I'm probably the biggest fan in the world. I like to think of myself as the sandwich master, because I realized early on that although that's just recommended by Toastmasters, not everyone I think understands or follows it. So if you think about the fact that when you typically make a sandwich, both pieces of bread are about the same size, that's really where I've tried to focus on with my DVD and my upcoming book, is to say, save some specific positives for the end, almost like a closing in a speech, and don't just end with something wimpy. Mm-hmm. Because if you really do it right, the sandwich can uplift, support, and be positive at the same time, giving one or two ideas for the speaker to improve.
Now, about the sandwich method, some of the criticisms about that could be like whitewashing. I'm sure you heard of that before. We don't want to whitewash it. We don't want to say things that really aren't true. What's your response to that? Is it easy for anybody to find good things about a really bad speech? Or what do you do in the case when it's difficult to find something good?
When it's difficult to find something good, maybe the best thing to do is offer your opinion. Because even if you said to one of the champions, you know, Lance, I like the way you did that. Another way to do it might have been. When you offer someone your perception or your feedback, you're not trying to expose a fault or a problem. You're just simply saying, I think it might benefit if you were to look at it this way. But what really happens with this sandwich method is, if it's done correctly, you're offering positives. And if you do the improvement section correctly with constructive feedback language, guys, then you're really offering them points, factors about your perception that might be able to be improved. Once again, it all has to do with the language you use. But if you can tell when someone's whitewashing by simply saying, I couldn't find anything at fault, or I couldn't find anything wrong, that's not really the objective of an evaluation. It's to find things about your perception that you can share and that speaker may be able to grow from.
Right.
Along the lines of the language that you use, Bob, I know one of your suggestions is to substitute judgment words with words that describe your reaction. Could you explain what's meant by that?
Yeah. Think about it. If you were to say or have someone say, hey, Bo, hey, Ryan, you know, your show just didn't come off that well. I don't think it's that good. We start to find words like good or as very evaluative or very judgmental. If you stay with perceptions like I got distracted, I enjoyed, I really appreciated, I believe, when you do things like that or say things like that, they become very personal and therefore they're not confrontational. The person really can't deny what your perceptions are. But when you make judgment words like that didn't work, champions don't do that, the better speakers always avoid that, those are almost like coming down from the mount and saying to someone that's against the rules. And in an evaluation, there really are no rules, only feedback.
Right. Well, here's a good example. Let me get this piece of feedback that Ryan and I got from our last podcast and tell me how this person could have improved it. You guys aren't funny.
Is that it?
That's it.
Well, think about it. You know, I enjoy the way you present your podcast, Bo, Ryan. I like the fact that you try to inject humor from time to time, and most of the time, it really is effective. However, in this one occasion where I listened, specifically when you told the story about when Ryan was a little boy and blah, 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 I felt that it could have been improved by, or at least it might have been enhanced by. The point is, I'm using a lot more words, guys, but the issue here is that I don't just say, hey, it wasn't funny. I'm giving you an impression as to why I thought maybe it wasn't funny and how it might be able to be improved. We don't need terse statements. We need a few more words that not whitewash, but soften the approach and is more constructive than just it ain't, it's not, it could be better.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, I want to get your opinion on a topic many Toastmasters might have strong opinions on, and that is whether the speaker evaluator should be directing their feedback to the speaker or to the general audience. What I mean by that is to say, Jill, your gestures came across as very natural, or to say, directed to the audience, I felt that Jill's gestures came across very natural. How do you fall in on that?
Yeah, I appreciate that question because I've taken that up on several occasions in my workshops. And I even answered one time in the Toastmaster magazine a champion of his district evaluation contest that said, oh, no, stay mostly focused on the audience at large. I took exception to that. I said, if I were to do my evaluations the way I do them, it's typically how this is, I focus most of my attention on the speaker. You know, right now I'm imagining you and Bo, both of you, sitting in the studio, and I'm looking at both of you. And yet there might be thousands of people listening at the same time. I feel that in an audience, my comments are directed to the speaker, and everyone else around me, I'm hoping at least, is paying attention to what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, if I turn to the audience and say, doesn't Bo and Ryan really put on a good show, or don't they put on a good show? That's different. I may do that 5 or 7% of the time, but my focus, my main primary focus, is always on the speaker.
I like that. In our, Ryan and I, we have an advanced club, and that's one of the issues that frequently come up in our advanced club. What is the argument for not directing it to the person, Ryan? Do you know? I mean, what's the argument that keeps on coming up?
I think it's maybe just to not put the person on the spot or make them
really feel
uncomfortable. I don't know. But to me, it seems to make the person perhaps more uncomfortable because they're sitting in a room with
where
all
everybody's
this conversation
talking about them. It's like, hey,
them.
I'm right here.
That's right. The key. If that was you, Bo, saying that, first of all, it's disrespectful. If I'm going to talk about someone in the room and I'm doing that at length, even for 3 minutes,
yeah. It's
simply disrespectful. The other thing is, if you think about it, this is that person's speech. You're trying to target your comments to that person. And why not act like that? Why not behave that way? I think one of the most foolish things we do is make a person stand up. Let me tell you something, Bo. I only need to see you once, you too, Ryan. I can pick you out of 100, 200 people in an audience. I don't need to have you stand up while I speak an evaluation. I can find you. And if I'm targeting you when I'm looking at you, trust me, you're going to feel as well as hear my comments.
Well, is that common? where you have people stand up when you give them an evaluation?
Yeah, I've never
Can you believe
heard of
that. It? Some clubs actually make that a policy of their own. I was a test speaker in a contest, and one of the contestants actually made me do that.
Wow.
I tried to make faces at him and say, "Are you sure you want me to stand up like this? I'm feeling really funny."
Jeez.
I bet.
I'd hate to be a new Toastmaster in that club, and that seems kind of like a fraternity prank you pull on somebody.
Right.
I guess there are reasons for it.
Hands, guys. I'm standing here in the fig leaf pose going, "Hey, is this all I can do? I'm just going to stand here for 3 minutes while you're reading me the act."
Right.
Oh, geez. Well, I asked you before about what do you do if you can't find anything good to say. Now let's take the opposite. What do you do if you can't find anything bad to say? Maybe you're not the best evaluator. Maybe you weren't quite paying attention. Maybe this person was just so much better than you are that it's very difficult for you to find anything. What do you do in that case? Or what do you suggest to people in that situation?
Well, One thing's for sure, don't avoid or don't try to make something up, because we've gone through this in workshops where people have said, "Look, if you're that effective as a speaker, then say so." You don't have to use phrases like "I couldn't find anything," I'm hard pressed to. You can just simply say, I might have done a few things differently. However, overall, and by articulating the different aspects that you did feel well, then why not stay with that? There's nothing wrong with more positivity. Mm-hmm. Than a few perceptions that might be in you know, you are inclined to give that person something to improve upon. But I'll tell you something, it's the opposite happens as well, guys. There are some speakers that didn't hit one objective in their project. And there are some folks that say, "What do you do then? What do you say to the person?" Well, one of the things you should do in an evaluation is cover the objectives. And if they didn't hit those marks, there's ways to offer them, you know, at least suggestions to say, "You could benefit from doing this again. You might concentrate more on these couple of objectives that I didn't hear or I didn't sense." So it works both ways. I guess what I'm trying to say to you guys and to all the Toastmasters listening is, we're all about language and communications. So find it, since you're expressing your feelings, to be as constructive as possible, but no whitewash.
Okay,
very good. Bob, share with us what you mean by infamous setup lines.
Okay, infamous setup lines. Where did I say that? Help me understand the context.
Sure, yeah, the context was, as someone is giving critical feedback, they might say, "Bo, your gestures were great, but..."
Yeah, if you think about that word, it's funny how your voice trailed off a little bit, but think about how many times people have said, "You know, Bo, you know, Ryan, you do have a good show." And I'm just going to leave the pause there. And you can almost sense what's coming next. It happens in relationships.
Just go ahead and say it.
I love you, but we can't see each other anymore. That word is probably the most devastating crossover transition into, "Gee, I've got bad news for you guys, but let me tell you the good stuff first," and talk about setting someone up. So why not change that one little word to "and," A-N-D. And all of a sudden it becomes, "Bo, Ryan, you have a great show. And there's just a couple of things I'd like to offer you as suggestions." That word "and" almost slips in there, guys.
Right.
It's so slippery, in fact, you have to almost play the tape back and say, "Did he give us something to improve on? I almost didn't hear it."
Yeah. And I noticed that you did not have that pause there. It wasn't the big dramatic "but," or you didn't say "and." You just kind of went right with it. It did make it sound much better. Right. Flows well.
Right. Another point you make in your workshop, Bob, is to not make the same point more than once, or not repeat the same point. Can you talk about why that's so important?
Yeah, I really feel like when we've all used this expression, "hammer the point home." Uh-huh. Think about it, guys, and everybody who's listening. Why do you want to hammer anyone who especially might be new into Toastmasters? If anything, you want to say, save your improvement suggestions for the middle, the stuff that they're going to chew on, to use a sandwich metaphor. By the time you finish with one or two more positives, let them play the tape back. Let them reflect back on those improvements. But if you start to get nervous and say, "And just remember, Bo, other than that thing I told you about to do differently," well, if you're going to finish up an evaluation that way, my goodness, it's like you already told me, guy. You don't have to bring it up again.
Right. Right. It makes it seem, I think, a lot more serious, too, that, you know, wow, this guy just keeps saying it over and over again.
Was it really that bad?
I must have really screwed up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Good stuff. Is there anything that we missed, Bob? Any key important points of evaluations that you do want to get across to the listeners?
I think one of the things, since you brought up at the beginning of the cast, whether it was you, Ryan, it's hard. I haven't got your voices down yet, but whether it was you, Ryan, or Bo, about the PDF creating that.
I'm the one with the cool voice.
Okay. One of the things I would suggest, though, for people is to think about really, really creating a separate piece of paper so that they can make prompts derived from what they wrote in the manual. Because think about it. You're going to give the manual to the Toastmaster and the speaker. Why not create a separate piece of paper where you can create bulletized prompts? This way you can stand up and not hold on to the manual, but actually lay those prompts down and do just as if you were giving a speech. Make the eye contact. Use some body language. Make the evaluation come to life almost like you do in a speech. I think that's one of the most important things we can profess, is that don't just stand there and hold the manual and look up and down as if you're reading your comments. Why not put some life into them and literally make your eye contact with that speaker? That's the way you can offer your perception so that they know, or you know as well, that they're perceiving how you feel about their speech.
Mm. Great point.
Well, this has been great. Great stuff, Bob. I know that every club deals with evaluations, and everybody's trying to give better and better evaluations because, as we know, that evaluations is probably the most important part of Toastmasters in our learning and growing. So we really appreciate this information. It's been fantastic. And once again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. And Bob, do you want to share your website for our listeners?
Sure. It's PresCoach. That's P-R-E-S and the word coach, no space, .com. PresCoach.com. And I just, what I do there is offer my services to people that that need consulting or need help with public speaking. But most importantly, I do touch on a lot of Toastmasters information. And I don't think there's a better organization that can help people in any form, but be it presentations or public speaking, to get to where they need to meet their goals.
Hear, hear.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
All right. You take care.
You too.
That was Bob Terrell with Toastmasters. What club is he from? Do we know?
I don't know the name of his club.
We didn't even ask him the name of his club.
He's from Florida.
Well, when he evaluates this podcast, he could definitely say as a negative.
5 points off, Bowen.
For not even asking him. Which,
great interview, but.
But.
You didn't mention the name of my club.
Bother asking me the name of my club. You live and you learn, right?
Yeah.
We're always learning. We're growing. That's what Toastmasters is all about. All right. Ryan, do we have any listener feedback?
We do not have any new listener feedback this week.
What?
But I expect after this episode, we will perhaps have some evaluative feedback. We'd certainly welcome that. You can always call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862. You can send us an email, podcast@toastmasters.org. You can post on our blogs at toastmasterspodcast.com. And, of course, find us on Twitter, twitter.com/theTMPodcast. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, everybody. Until next time, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.